Would you bow with me as we come to our Heavenly Father in prayer at this time? God, we come before you this morning and we give you thanks, God. God, we give you thanks for your love, your grace, your power on this amazing Resurrection Sunday morning. Today we thank you that you so loved our world that you sent your only Son to this world so that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. And God, we are thankful that he who knew no sin became sin on the cross for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. And God, we are here this morning and we are praising your name and we are thankful that Jesus rose from the grave so we can have life in him. Thank you, Jesus, that through the life, death, and resurrection of you, you provided a way that not only, the only way for us to be saved from our sins. And so today, God, we gather together here this morning and we gather to remember and to celebrate our risen Savior, our living Savior. We celebrate the fact that death could not hold you, Jesus, in that grave. We celebrate that not even death is able to separate us from the love of God, our Creator. And so we celebrate as believers today at this new life that we can have in Christ. And we celebrate the assurance that we have of eternal life. And we look forward to that day, God, where we are with you in glory. So we pray as we come to your word now this morning, may we put our distractions aside and focus on you, Jesus. We pray all these amazing things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, today we are celebrating the greatest event in all of history, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, right? He is risen. Amen. Amen. And really the message of the day has been shared throughout all what we've sung and heard already. I mean, hallelujah, Christ is risen. This is Resurrection Sunday. And everyone's life is impacted by Jesus. Whether you choose to believe in Jesus or not, your life is impacted by Jesus. Whether you choose to accept him or not, whether you choose to put your faith in him or not, your life is impacted by Jesus. And you have a choice. You have to make a choice. Everyone does. And this morning being Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, we are taking a look at the greatest event in the history of our world. The resurrection of Jesus is the cornerstone of the Christian faith. Without the resurrection, there is no Christianity. The resurrection of Jesus is true, and it affirms our faith. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 of the New Testament, he says, "And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain." This event means everything to the Christian. And in reality, it will mean everything to everyone, Christian or not. Easter is the climax of the Christian calendar. It's the culmination of God's redemptive work for all humanity and what Jesus accomplished in the cross and his resurrection. And so this morning, we're going to take a look at one of the passages in the Bible that teaches of Christ's victory over death and sin. And you should know that all four Gospels in the New Testament of the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all of them speak to the empty tomb. But we're going to look specifically at Mark's account this morning. We've been working through the book of Mark together as a church. Mark's account of the discovery of the empty tomb is very brief, as you're going to see this morning. Yet it is a profound call to faith for us. Mark ends his gospel very abruptly, just like he starts it. We're going to read of a few women this morning who received the resurrection announcement, but they've not yet seen Jesus alive. And the question we're going to ask and answer is, will they respond with their faith in their fear this morning? And it's the same question everyone has to answer everywhere, still today. How do we respond to the announcement of the resurrection of Jesus? Will we respond? Do you respond with faith? Do you respond with faith in Jesus and boldly proclaiming his message of resurrection? Or do you respond in silence? The resurrection account is of Jesus, the Son of God. He was executed in a very public manner on a cross. He died and was placed in a tomb. He then rose from the dead and is alive and well 3 days later. He is seen many times over the next 6 weeks before ascending to heaven. And this is unparalleled in the history of our world. There is nothing similar. God is the creator and sustainer of all. His son, Jesus, came into the world and lived the perfect life. And that's what the Bible documents for us. He faced and conquered sin and death. He has authority over all. Now, before we get into our passage today that I want to look at with you, I'd like to step back just a few verses. After Jesus' death, we know that a gentleman by the name of Joseph of Arimathea, who was a member of the Jewish council, he had asked Pilate if he could have Jesus' body to bury. And Mark points out for us in chapter 15 of the book of Mark that Joseph was also looking for the kingdom of God. And we know that Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, as it's mentioned in the other gospel accounts. And being a disciple of Jesus, he wants to Jesus' body and to prepare it for burial. And so Joseph goes to Pilate and asks for Jesus' body. And Pilate, the Roman governor there in that area, he's surprised Jesus is already dead. So Jesus had declared, "It is finished." He gave his last breath and died. And Pilate summoned a Roman centurion to confirm for Pilate that Jesus actually was dead. And he was, and so permission was given to Joseph. Joseph took a linen cloth, took Jesus' body from the cross, wrapped his body with the cloth, and they placed him in a tomb. And a large stone is rolled over the entrance of that tomb. And two women, the two Marys, saw exactly where Jesus' body was laid to rest. With that, would you turn with me in your Bible? If you have your Bible here with you this morning, turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 16. Mark, chapter 16. And we'd love for you to follow along as we go through the Bible this morning together. We're going to look at Mark, chapter 16, beginning in verse 1. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb, and they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" Verse 4, and looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going out, that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now, once the Sabbath was complete at sunset, the women are able to go to the marketplace and purchase spices to put on the body of Jesus. And the purpose of the spices was to help cover the decay of the human body that would occur. In the first century, a body would decay in a tomb for 1 year. And the spices would be put in the tomb to help with the smell. And then after a year, the family members would return to the tomb and they would remove the bones and place them in an ossuary, which is a box to contain the bones. And so it's later that Saturday night when the women purchase the spices, but it's too dark for anointing Jesus' body. And so according to verse 2, very early in the morning of the next day, the first day of the week, the women, they go to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body. They knew where Jesus' body was, where he was laid. They had witnessed Joseph and the others put Jesus' body in that tomb on Friday. And then verse 3 reveals that these women have no expectation of anything except that the body would be in the tomb. They do not think the body will be gone. They're trying to figure out how they're going to roll that heavy stone away from the opening. But when they get to the tomb, they see the large stone had been rolled away. And they must have feared the worst. I mean, maybe they might have wondered, have the Lord's enemies taken his body? Seeing the stone, they would have concerned, rolled away, they would have been concerned. And so they go to the tomb to investigate. I think if any of us were there, we would have done the same. We'd want to go in and see, is Jesus' body there where it should be? But rather than seeing the body of Jesus, they see this man who is sitting there on the right side. He is dressed in white. And this, of course, alarms the women. Now we know from the other gospel accounts in the New Testament, this is no ordinary man. This is an angel. And the angel speaks to the women, and he has a message for them. And it's a message that is designed to help them. He tells them there's no need to fear. Don't fear. And he says something important in verse 6. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. And he reassures the women, they're in the right place. But Jesus is not here. He's risen. And the angel wants them to know that Jesus' cry of, it is finished, did not mean that he was finished. Yes, he died, but he did not stay dead. He is alive. He is risen. And the angel wants them to know that the power of death has been swallowed up by a far greater power. And the angel wants them to know that the empty tomb of the Lord is not a place of despair and defeat. The empty tomb is a place of glory, a place of power, a place of hope. Now, after telling the women that Jesus had risen from the dead, the angel invited them to look at the place where the body had been laid. And as they looked, we are told what they saw in the book of John, actually, in chapter 20 of the book of John, verses 6 and 7. They would have seen the cloth strips that were wrapped around the body still lying there, undisturbed. They would have seen the face cloth folded and laid to the side. They would have looked upon the scene and seen it was a scene of calm and order. It was not a kind of scene that you would have witnessed where people had taken or moved the body. The message from that empty tomb is that Jesus is alive. And for 2,000 years, skeptics have tried to prove that the resurrection of Jesus did not take place. They have come up with every kind of theory imaginable to account for an empty tomb. Every theory they propose is dashed to pieces by the testimony of that empty grave. And if the Jewish leaders had taken the body, they would have produced it once the disciples were actually going around proclaiming that Jesus has risen from the dead. And if the disciples themselves had taken the body, they would not have died a martyr's death for a lie. The missing body of Jesus has always been impossible for skeptics to overcome. His body was missing because he is alive. Jesus came out of that tomb in eternal victory over death. And the empty tomb is still proclaimed today. The empty tomb still tells the world Jesus is alive. And he is able to save all who come to him by faith. And we can read earlier in Jesus' ministry in the book of Mark chapter 14. When on the Mount of Olives, Jesus had told his disciples, said that they were all going to fall away and they were going to be scattered. But after, he would be raised up and he would go before them to Galilee and see them there. And this is what the women are being told here again by the angel. And the angel sends them from the tomb to go carry the message to the disciples. They're to go and tell the disciples that Jesus is doing what he said he would do. He would rise from the dead, go ahead of them to Galilee. You will see him there. Jesus' resurrection reveals to believers the only way to true life. Those who think life comes from avoiding suffering or hardship are wrong. Jesus' life teaches us the way to a full life is through a relationship with Jesus. Jesus' resurrection shows that death is not the end. Jesus was not left in the grave, and neither will we be left in the grave. By submitting to death, Jesus made the resurrection and life everlasting for us, you and I, possible. Surrendering to his will and his way is how we actually find real purpose and real fulfillment in this life that God intended for us. Jesus was victorious over death. And this is the hope found in the resurrection of Jesus. Death is not the final say for us. The tomb was empty on that first Easter Sunday morning. It had been emptied by divine power, not human activity. I once read it said that the stone is removed not to let Jesus out, but to let his followers in so they can see that he is gone, see that he is risen. And we learn in John chapter 20, the disciples were filled with fear as they were in hiding But God wants them to know that Jesus is alive. And there's no need to fear. There is joy. There is hope. And the message to the women, though, is not only go tell the disciples that Jesus is going before them to Galilee, but look at verse 7 again. It says, go tell his disciples and Peter. Those two words, and Peter. Peter had dramatically failed in denying Jesus three times in a span of a few hours. Peter, who had been a leader amongst the apostles, publicly proclaimed that he would rather die than deny Jesus. And even with his tragic failure of faith, the directions are clear. Don't exclude Peter when you're telling the disciples this good news. Peter is not out. He may think he cannot return from that mistake, but Jesus is inviting him to come and witness his resurrection. Jesus wants Peter to know he is loved too. And like it was for Peter, it is never too late for us to choose to repent and to come to Jesus. Jesus died and rose from the dead so that your sins, my sins, could be covered by his blood, so that we can be forgiven. We can be restored to a right relationship with God. And Jesus did not come because you did not need him. Jesus came because we do need him. And when we cry out that we have failed, Jesus is there saying, that is why I came. I came for you. To rescue you, to save you. We read the women, they run from the tomb, trembling and astonished. And they said nothing to anyone, Mark tells us, for they were afraid. And the way the book of Mark ends here seems kind of like a weird ending, doesn't it? It's abrupt, but it gets the point across. Jesus is not dead. He is alive. Now you might be saying, well, hold on, Matt. When I look at the Bible here, my Bible, there's a few more verses written. You may wonder what I'm talking about. You may have a notation there that says what these verses are. See, this part of Mark, this extended part here, is generally accepted by scholars to be not written by Mark. It's more as a postscript added later. But this is not to concern you about the authenticity of Scripture. Instead, it should encourage you that scholars are diligent in making sure what is the original text, what was originally written for us from God. A pastor friend of mine wrote this article for the Gospel Coalition about this passage. He says this. He says, the truth is that the text of the Bible is the most rigorously attested text in the history of human literature. The truth is that when we compare all the thousands of scraps and fragments of the New Testament from all over the Mediterranean, from every stage of the reproduction timeline, there are remarkably few significant textual variants. The one exception to that generally happy rule is the longer ending of Mark's gospel. You should know about this problem, but you shouldn't be freaked out by it. You should know that scholars and linguists have known about this issue for over 1,000 years. Now, if you'd like a link to this article to read the whole arc, it's a well-written one, I'd be happy to get that to you after the service. But as we look at this book here, the ending here with a message of these ladies being afraid, it's something we've seen many times. When you go through the book of Mark, we see the idea and the discussion of fear many times. Fear has been a changing point in the lives of many people in this gospel. We can go back to Mark chapter 4, where Jesus was asleep on the boat and their disciples, they're panicking. They're in this storm that's raging around them. They think they're going to die. They're amazed Jesus is sleeping in the midst of the storm, and they wake Jesus up. And Jesus says, why are you so afraid? You still have little faith. And Jesus, with a word, speaks and calms the storm. And the disciples, they're stricken with fear at the power of Jesus to be able to control nature. And they're asking the question, who is this? And fear can drive us to faith. Fear is pivotal. It's a pivotal moment when we will decide whether we have faith in Jesus or will we not have faith in Jesus. Fear should lead us to faith in Jesus. Further on in the book of Mark, chapter 5, there is a sick woman. She reaches out to touch just the garment of Jesus, hoping to be healed. And she is healed. And Jesus stops in the crowd and says, who touched me? And the woman falls down in fear before Jesus and tells him all that's happened. And what does Jesus say? Jesus tells her, your faith has made you well. Go in peace, be healed of your disease. And then Jesus is on his way in Mark chapter 5 as well, to a religious leader's house to heal a man's daughter who is very sick. On the way, the religious leader is told, don't bother Jesus anymore, your daughter's died anyways. What does Jesus say? He says, do not fear, only believe. And then Mark chapter 6, Jesus walked on water and the disciples see him and they're terrified. And Jesus tells the disciples what? He says, it's I, do not be afraid. And we read of many witnessing Jesus and his teachings and his miraculous acts and feeling fear. And the question is, will this fear lead to faith? And the Gospel of Mark ends suddenly, but it ends with a challenge to every reader. What will you do with this amazing event of the resurrection of Jesus? What are you going to do with that news? Of Jesus risen, showing his power over sin and death. What will you do with that? Jesus rose from the dead. It is an undeniable fact. The tomb is empty. Jesus was seen by over 500 people after he rose from the dead. Will you have faith in what has been revealed to us? The point of the resurrection is not just to feel good that Jesus rose from the dead and then returned to normal life. No, the resurrection of Jesus is to have a life-altering impact. Our lives are to be transformed by the news of Jesus' resurrection. For the disciples, everything in their world had been turned upside down with the death of Jesus. If the man that they had been following for 3 years was really dead, then it meant that their hopes for the future were gone. They'd wasted their lives. But when he was resurrected, it changed everything. It meant that they had a reason to live after all. It meant Jesus was who he said he was. He was the Messiah, the King, the Son of God. Jesus was and is the only thing worth living for. And being resurrected proved Jesus' death on the cross really was the payment for their sins, like he said. It meant they didn't have to be afraid of death anymore. Death is not the end. And maybe you're here today, and maybe you're struggling with fear. And you might be struggling with disbelief in the message of this Sunday morning, this news of Jesus risen. But just because you're struggling with believing or you're afraid of its implications, it does not mean that it's not true. We know from the other Gospels, these women got over their initial fear and became obedient to what they had been instructed to do by the angel. They told the story of what they witnessed. And now, 2,000 years later, there are thousands of churches spanning this world proclaiming the message of our risen Lord, proclaiming the message of the empty grave. And they communicated what they were told and what they knew to be true. You and I, we are called to do the same. And the Gospel of Mark started with God sending a messenger named John the Baptist to share what God was about to do. And now in this last chapter, he tells us of how God sent another messenger, an angel, in the empty tomb to announce to a group of women what God had done and instructs them to go and tell. And so will you respond to faith in Jesus? And will you go and tell others? That's the challenge for us. What a difference a day makes. On Saturday, everything looked bleak and sad, but on Sunday, everything changed forever. On Sunday, the stone was rolled away and the world would never be the same. On Sunday, the struggling followers of Jesus witnessed the empty tomb. They heard the good news that Jesus was alive. They believed the message and it changed their lives and they saw Jesus. And this message still rings out today. I myself heard this good news many years ago. And it has changed my life, and I believed it, and I've chosen to put my faith in Jesus. And my life has been transformed by Christ. I have been forgiven. I know true joy, true peace. I know true hope. I know that God is my God. And that's why I'm here today. I'm here to share that message with you, hoping that you will believe the same thing, hoping that you will know that Christ is risen, the tomb is empty. And if you've not accepted the free gift of salvation that Jesus offers you, then you are dead in your sin. And if you die today in that condition, you will die lost and you will not go to heaven. I'm here to tell you, today you have a choice. You have a choice. You can make the choice now to believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Receive forgiveness of your sin and follow Him. And know the truth. Know real truth. The resurrection is central to Christianity. The truth of the resurrection impacts everyone. Because one day we are all going to stand before God. And whether we believe and trust in God's Son for salvation or not, it's going to affect how you spend eternity. And the resurrection is true, and it is good news. And it's good news because it shows Jesus' power over sin and death. It is good news because it shows our sin is forgiven when we trust in Him. And it's good news because we can have a relationship with our living Savior. And it's good news because it shows that we who believe in Him will also get to share eternal life with Him, our risen Lord. And so the resurrection of Jesus impacts all of life. It means we can be forgiven of our sin. We can know the love, the grace, and the mercy of God. It means we can look forward in hope to being in glory with God. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, we would love to talk with you more about Him. Call us through the week. Come and visit us. Know the truth. You can know the truth. It's your choice. And I hope that you will choose to accept the truth of Jesus' death and resurrection. And I hope that you will make Jesus Lord of your life. Let's pray. Would you bow your heads with me? God, we thank you for this passage in the Bible that we've had the opportunity of being blessed and reading together today. We thank you for the good news, Jesus, how you came and died on the cross for our sin so that we can know that you are risen, Jesus, that we serve a risen God, that we know a risen God, and that our sins can be forgiven and we can know true joy, true hope, true peace by putting our faith in you, Jesus. We thank you that on that first Sunday of Easter, that tomb was empty, that you rose again, Jesus. And God, as Scripture teaches us, we know that you are coming again. And that those of us who know you, Jesus, will be brought to heaven with you for eternal glory. And God, we look forward to that day. But Jesus, like these women in the passage of the Scripture today, we are told to take this good news out into our world. This good news that transforms our life, that changes our lives. We are not to just keep that to ourselves. We're to take that into this world. Help us, Jesus, to take that good news into this world and to proclaim how you are risen, Jesus. We thank you for this good news. We thank you for this time together, Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.